This is No Direction's PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage. PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage was made possible thanks to the support of the Roll for Combat podcast, as well as the dedication of our team of volunteers. Due to possibly questionable language, this panel is rated Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
All right, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Pathfinder preview how to playtest seminar. I am your host. I am Jason Bowman. I am the director of game design at Paizo. I'll let the rest of my panelists, my esteemed panelists, introduce themselves. We'll start at the opposite end.
I'm Steve Randy McFarlane. I'm the senior designer on the design team.
I'm Mark Seifter. I'm a designer on the design team.
And I'm Logan Bonner. I'm also a designer on the design team.
So today what we're going to be talking about, for many of you who were here in our previous seminar where we talked about the new ins and outs of the new version of Pathfinder, this seminar is a little different. This one we're going to talk to you about what the playtest process for this game is going to be and how it's kind of going to work. So we're going to talk about it for a little bit, maybe you know, 20, 30 minutes, then we're going to open it up for some questions. We'll see how it goes. This seminar is only an hour long, so we're going to keep it nice and quick and poppy. So, to start out with, surprise, surprise, August 2nd, we are releasing a brand new version of Pathfinder. Please tell me you all knew about that. What? So the game will release on August 2nd. It'll release both in physical and digital form at that moment. It is a 432-page book. It is being released in softcover, hardcover, and special edition. And I am flabbergasted at the number of people who are like, I want a special edition of your playtest game. I'm like, okay, great. Yes, that.
We love all of you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I want a special edition of this thing. I've been working on it for a long time.
Well, we're all getting one. It's great. That is going to release on August 2nd. At the same time, it is also being released as a free PDF from Paizo.com. In addition to that, we will be releasing a few other products as well. Another one is the Playtest Adventure, Doomsday Dawn. This is going to be the focus of most of the seminar, so I'm going to come back to it. But it's a 96-page adventure. It releases, once again, on August 2nd. It also releases as a free PDF on August 2nd. So pick it up however you want. To go along with that, there's a flip mat multi-pack. There are two flip mats in there with four map locations from the adventure. That is, I think we even released those as free PDFs, to be honest. Although don't quote me on that. Did we do that?
I don't know about the flip mat.
I'm not sure about that. All right, so we'll look into that and get back to you.
Well, we do now. Yeah, no.
Thanks,
Jason said.
My phone suddenly gets a text message from Eric. No! All right. So in addition to that, there's one other thing that we're releasing at that point in time, and this is only in a PDF, and that is the monster document. So the playtest rulebook doesn't have any monsters in it. So instead, what we're going to do is release a 100 and probably 10 to 20 page PDF containing over 250 monsters usable with the new version of the game. This covers all the monsters from the Playtest Adventure, but also has a ton more as well for if you want to use the Playtest rules to run other things or convert bits of your home game.
Bunch of traps and environmental stuff as well. Yep.
Yeah, so there were a few things that just we couldn't find room for in the Playtest rulebook, like the rules for traps, the rules for hazards and environments that we originally had in the playtest rulebook, but just as the page budget got tighter and tighter, we were like, well, something's got to move. So those made the most sense to go with monsters anyway, because it's all kind of about building encounters, so all of that's together in one PDF. That also releases totally for free on August 2nd. So on August 2nd, you'll have everything you need to begin playtesting this newest version of Pathfinder. Now, in the past, for those, how many people here were involved with the first playtest 10 years ago? Thank you.
The old timers.
and you're still here. Suckers. All right. No, I love each and every one of you. Seriously, we really do appreciate the help that we get from all of our playtesters. I find it funny when people are like, well, you guys aren't even going to change anything. None of this is going to matter. I'm like, you weren't here the first time. We changed a lot. I threw out the entire fighter build and built a new one the last time. So we take playtesting very seriously. We really do care what you guys think. But we're going to do things a little differently this time because, to be honest, there's a lot more of you. The first time we did this, people were like, Pathfinder? What's that? Isn't that that movie? Is that a car? Now, you know, we have tens of thousands of active players. The Pathfinder Society is huge, and we want to make sure that we can playtest in a way that's going to allow us to collect data that's usable. And message boards are one component of that, but they can't be the only component like they were last time. I think my grand total was somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 70,000 message board posts the first time we playtested Pathfinder. We've generated that many posts in just the past like month and a half about the playtest. And it isn't even out yet.
Just from the blogs.
And that's just from blogs. I can't, we're not going to be able to keep up that pace, especially when we're getting, 100,000, forum posts. So we need better ways to get some playtest data. And to that end, we created On Adventure. And we did this because we wanted to remove the variable of like, okay, well, what if your GM does things differently than my GM? All of a sudden, the data that we're getting isn't really necessarily valid. So we wanted to kind of remove some of those choices, but still let all the players do whatever they want to do and stress test the system. So we created Doomsday Dawn specifically to test the game. It has entire parts and encounters that are designed specifically to focus test various elements of the game design. So that as you and your group play them, we are able to kind of stress test various things, collect data from all of you as groups, and use that data to inform our decisions. We'll be doing that along with a whole bunch of message board posts and forum posts and other things like that, but that's kind of the heart of how we're going to play test this. That process in its entirety is going to begin shortly after August 2nd. The adventure itself is divided up into 7 parts. And I should actually stop for just a moment and say, I'm going to be really careful not to actually spoil the adventure. I don't want to do that for 2 reasons. 1, the plot is really cool and I'm looking forward to you guys getting a chance to play it. And 2, I don't want to invalidate my data by telling you what the tests are. If you are going to play this, I actually need you to go into many parts of it blind. Like, so one of the things we're really going to stress to everyone who wants to take part in this, don't peek. If you're a player, just do what the GM needs you to do, follow the instructions that tell you how to build characters a certain way or do certain things, and just play the adventure as intended, because that's going to be what gives us the best possible data and the best possible outcome, which ultimately, we hope, is going to give us the best version of Pathfinder we can have. So the adventure is divided up into 7 segments. Logan, why don't you talk a little bit about that? Don't spoil anything about the individual segments, but right. But how that's kind of structured.
So it goes in chronological order, and it's a little bit of a tour across some of the history of the Pathfinder adventure path, where you're going to kind of see incidents that are related to or near some of the other chapters or located in some of the same locations. So starting with the first adventure that Jason wrote, which is tangentially related to Rise of the Runelords. Obviously, your characters aren't playing a big role in the adventures, the events of those APs, because we didn't want to, make it too complicated for people who haven't played those before. But if you have played some of those, you're going to see a few nods to those other adventures.
We didn't want a Back to the Future style situation where your characters run in and save your previous characters from catastrophe, and then some of you just start fading away. I don't know what happens.
You're going to make your own characters, whatever type of characters you want for the first adventure. For the second adventure, which is my adventure, the first one, some guy wrote, I don't know.
Some jerk.
The second one was written by me. And it you're going to create a new set of characters kind of tied specifically to the themes of that section of the adventure. The third part of the adventure is Amanda Hammond-Coons wrote that one, and you're going to create another set of characters because that's a very that one is a very specific test, and we have more specific constraints on the characters for that adventure. The fourth chapter was written by Mark Seifter over there, and you're going to be revisiting your characters who are in the first chapter. So there's kind of an interesting thing where you're going to get to level them up and kind of experience the same characters multiple times while you're also kind of going back and forth to get characters that are specific to some of the other parts.
Yeah, you follow some characters on a journey. Others you just visit for one part and then never necessarily see again.
Yeah. The fifth part is yet again Jason Bowman.
I can't wait.
Another tie-in to one of our classic adventures. The sixth part is by Steven down there. And that one is going to be, again, you're making new characters, and that one is a very different kind of style of adventure from some of the other ones. And then the final part was written by good old James Jacobs himself, and that is going to be when you return to your initial characters for the last time for, I believe, a 17th level adventure. All of these are going to be sequentially higher levels, so we're testing out a lot of the level span of the adventures.
Yeah, so, like... You were a little coy with it, and I think it's okay to talk about it just in some light generalities, but, so the first adventure happens in 4707, about a month before the Swallowtail Festival. So these events are occurring kind of in time and in sequence alongside other huge events in the world. It's kind of like the B story of what's happening while these other things are happening. And in some cases, it's characters, sometimes it's different parts of the plot, and it creates this giant kind of meta-narrative throughout our campaign. I don't want to spoil it because it's a lot of fun and it's filled with some great stuff. But if you're familiar with a lot of our work, it's not just a chance for us to playtest a new version of Pathfinder. It's also a great chance for us to just look back at what we've made over 10 years and what you guys have experienced over 10 years and kind of celebrate some of that and revisit some of those pieces and see some of the outcomes to some of the things and in some cases see what happened right before or see what happened right after or see what happened during. So yeah, it's really exciting. Mark, Steven, why don't you guys talk about what you really enjoyed about putting together some of these pieces since you guys both put together some.
So the adventure that I wrote takes place in the Shackles and a place called Smoker, and so I love piratey kind of adventures, and it takes place in a huge party, and so I got to create a lot of sort of interesting NPCs that you get to interact with, a task that you have to go after, and that's the I like putting interesting characters in my adventures that sort of both. Can both aid you and hinder you in your deeds, and you have to sort of navigate around them. So I think that's the thing I enjoy most about.
Steven likes to put himself in things. He can both aid and hinder you at the same time. It's really impressive. Yeah.
And that adventure is called Red Flags.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. yeah.
So I guess. I guess we don't want to say where all of the adventures.
No, are not necessarily.
So
but
mine. I have to say what. Okay, in mine, I kind of liked how.
How can we talk about?
I got to write the second adventure that used the PCs that were from the first adventure. So it was kind of interesting, especially when we playtested it, to see them grow, to see them put into a different situation. Because as Jason said, each one is testing something different. So we weren't testing the same thing, but it was the same PCs at a higher level. And so I got to see them in a different way, like particularly Jason's character, although he wasn't playing it because he had another meeting at the time. it was actually not just for a different player, but just like the character was totally doing different stuff because of the setup.
So insane. All right, so...
One of my other favorite little things about that adventure is we have the new background system in the playtest, and so the characters you're going to be making for most of these chapters, you're going to be using all the rules in the playtest rulebook. However, for your recurring characters, we have new backgrounds just specific to this adventure that talk directly to kind of the backstory of the adventure and come back and appear in the text sometimes related to these characters, which is a piece of rules tech that we're kind of looking forward to hopefully using in future adventure paths.
So if you're familiar with backgrounds, they give you a lore. So if you're a sailor, you would have maritime lore. So that a soldier, warfare lore. some of these ones, right, might have some lore that is about, like, directly related to the plot line.
Yeah, so you get something that's directly usable, right? Some of the things that we're designing, you know, when it comes to the new version of the game is us kind of looking at how can we make these rules elements but make them a more integral part to the world and to the game. So backgrounds, yeah, you can just pick the generic ones. Oh, yeah, I was a farmer. That's where I came from. Oh, I was a barkeep. You know, that's fine. You can be those sorts of things. We encourage you to do so. But the adventure might have ones that are specific, like, you know, if you were playing in, you know, just, you know, if you were playing in Burnt Offerings, you know, you might be able to choose backgrounds that have something to do with Sandpoint and things like that, right? So, you know, we can inform our campaign and our world based on the choices you get to make as a character. Right. And the adventures allow us to do that. And this allows us to kind of test that out as a concept and see how it works.
And I guess since you can see it right at the beginning, as soon as you've got the PDF, it wouldn't be spoiling too much to say that one of the backgrounds is Mindquake Survivor. That's the one Steven had, and it was actually hilarious.
Yeah, boy, that's a lot of implications. All right, moving on. How's the playtest going to work? Let's talk about that a little bit. So here's how it's going to play. The game and books are going to drop on August 2nd. We're still finalizing the schedule, and I'm going to have that ready to announce here very shortly, but I think the schedule is going to work something like this. You are going to have 3 weeks from that date to play the first part. And these parts are designed to be played in, like, maybe an 8 or 9 hour session or two shorter sessions, right? So they're not designed for you to have to play for 12 days to get them done. They're designed to be able to be played in a handful of sessions or short sessions. So during that 3 week period, we're going to be talking about the first playtest part. We're going to ask you guys to play it. And then we're also going to be opening up a series of surveys. We're going to open up a bunch of online surveys where you'll be able to go and answer questions about your play experience. These are going to be very, very targeted. They're going to ask you very specific things about the adventure. So we ask that you don't read them until after you've played, because in some cases they might contain spoilers. However, there might be some elements that we're going to ask, and most of this will be for the GM, that we're going to ask the GM to track as they play. We have a way that you're going to be able to get that information if you're a GM. So on the playtest site, there's going to be the base surveys for GMs so that while you're playing, you can record the information you need to record, because you might not remember later if you didn't know to record it. Like, I mean, if you need to know the exact round that, you know, the fighter dies, because that's going to happen, then we're going to need you to, then we're going to have to tell you that in advance so that you know to watch for it, because otherwise you might not remember. So that's going to happen for the first 3 weeks. But then after that, each additional part is going to have a two-week window for you to play it. Now, obviously, the surveys are going to stay open, and if you don't follow the schedule, it's not a big deal. If you take longer, if you wait a month and then get your group together to play all four parts at once, you're still going to be able to contribute. You're still going to be able to take part. But a lot of our focus, just to keep us moving, is going to be on part, then part, then part. And what we're going to do is then after each part is done, we're going to pull down some initial survey data, figure out kind of where some of these things are heading. We're going to be, during that time, we're going to be on our message boards, answering a lot of questions, talking to a lot of you, working through kind of how some of the pieces are working, working through feedback from people as they're making characters, as they're doing things. And then after the period ends, that next week, we're probably going to do a live Twitch stream show where we talk about some of the results. We're going to talk about some of the things that we saw in the survey. We're going to talk about what things we've learned and what things we're going to change based on that. We're not necessarily going to give you the rules right then and there because we want a stable rule set all the way through, but we will start talking about how we're going to change the game based on the feedback that we're getting from all of you. We're also going to use that as an opportunity to take questions and give answers through our Twitch channel. There'll be other ways to get this too. We always do blogs and things like that as well. So some of this information will appear in multiple different sources if Twitch isn't your thing or YouTube isn't your thing. There'll be other ways to get some of this information too. We're hoping, and we're still trying to figure out exactly the logistics of making this happen, but what we're hoping to do is also do a live play of us playing the part for you guys to watch for fun. We're still trying to figure out exactly how that's going to work. I'm putting quotes around that because I'm not sure all of our tech is in place, but that's the plan. So what's going to happen is the first section is going to happen that first 3 weeks. Then we do the kind of wrap-up for the first section while all of you guys are starting to play the second section. We don't want to do our stuff before you guys have played it, because once again, that will spoil it and possibly tank our results because you will have heard how we did, and you know, we need the feedback.
Spoiler, so, badly. We did badly.
Yeah, we did badly.
You should have seen Jason playtest. He made some mistakes.
Oh, hey, listen. Just because I fumbled that holy water identification and thought it was a healing potion and just drank it. It's not my fault. The dye was bad.
You know what? Jason did really well when he blasted our entire party after being dominated and nearly killed us. That was the most damage I'd seen him do the entire playtest.
Mark, you're fired. It's fine. We're going to continue that pace for almost 3 months, doing each part as we make our way through the 7-part adventure. After that is done, we're still going to keep the playtest open, but that's going to take us into like November and into December. The playtest is still going to stay open. We're going to encourage you guys. There's going to be some Pathfinder Society scenarios that you're going to get a chance to play. If you want, you can play those. We also encourage you just to play around more with the system. We'll kind of enter a free play area. Not that you can't also free play earlier. We're going to have surveys targeting that sort of stuff, too. We're going to have... You're going to be sick of me telling you about all of our survey options. Because with each part, we're going to have 3 surveys. One for players, one for GMs, and then one that's a general feedback survey. The first 2 will be more statistical, where it's like, go in here... Rate this thing on a 1-5 scale. Rate this thing on a 1-5 scale. Did you like this? Yes, no, right? You know, things like that. That way we can get numerical data based on your feedback. But we're also going to make sure to have a survey that's just like, hey, just tell us about your experience. Do that in a way that sends it to us in a form. That way we can codify it and look for things. It's a lot easier than trying to sift through message boards that are constantly shifting and changing. Like I said, the message boards will still be a part of our playtest process, but... we want to make sure that we've got multiple different ways to get data from people, some of which isn't necessarily purely anecdotal, like message boards sometimes can be. That doesn't mean your experience is invalid. It's just one experience versus, 40% of tables experienced this problem. Now we know we have a much bigger problem than we might otherwise.
It's also much harder to filter that data from the message boards.
Yeah, it's arguably almost impossible. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of people on our message boards who are very passionate, and that is my polite way of saying it. No, I mean, I don't get me wrong. They wouldn't be so passionate about it if they didn't love the game, right? I mean, they're not just showing up to be mean. They play the game. They love the game, and they honestly want to see good things from it. We don't always agree, right, in the direction that these things can take. That's okay. That's the way this works. If there was a perfect role-playing game, everyone would be playing it, and we wouldn't have to have these discussions. But there's going to be some games that are better for some people than they are for others, and that's okay. They want it to be the game that's good for them. We have to do what we think is going to make the game best for as many people as possible. So, you know, I view the message boards as a place where there are an awful lot of passionate people who like to argue very passionately. And that's not a bad thing, but we have to understand that sort of debate and argument can drown out the voices of people who are just like, well, I had a good time. I thought this was a little bit of a problem, and they don't need somebody coming in and screaming at them 2 minutes later, you know, about how they're wrong and having bad wrong fun. And I mean, I get where that comes from. I really do, because, I mean, you know... You should ask Dan sometime about me listening to the early days of the Glass Cannon podcast on the drive-in. Dan and I commute to work, and listening to the early days of them playing and hearing them mess up rules, and I'm just like, what the heck? Ah! That's just wrong. What are you even doing? So it's kind of exciting stuff. So our playtest will be gathering a lot of feedback from a lot of different sources. I think surveys are going to be a much bigger part of it because we can get kind of more structured data from people's experiences. And, you know, we'll be using the message boards as much as we can. There's only 4 of us, which is a lot more than I had last time, but still, there's only 4 of us reading these boards. So, and there's like 50,000 of you. So
the number of people who are going to participate is multiplied by more than 4.
Yeah, I think I will. Well, I certainly hope so. All right. Anybody got anything else they want to add before I open this up to questions? No?
I think you covered the logistics pretty well.
So, just to talk about the full through line before I do open it up to questions. The playtest period will go through the end of the year. Obviously, you can keep playing if you want. We just reach a point where we have to start looking at shipping the book to the printer. So we run out of time for your feedback to be meaningful. That's why we're kind of focusing on the fall. Then early next year, the four of us will, and almost everyone else at Paizo, will work an incredible amount of overtime and somehow manage to find a way to get these books to the printer. And by that, I mean these books, because there will be two of them. There will be the core rulebook and there will be the bestiary, assuming that we call it that. I think there's still some debate internally about what we're going to call it. But those two books will launch simultaneously at Gen Con 2019. Assuming all goes well. I mean, if the playtest implodes, then you know we'll do something else, and I'll probably end up at a Burger King. it's fine.
Eating burgers, not serving them.
No, I meant serving them.
You couldn't get hired.
Do you want onion rings with that?
I do want to.
They may not trust me near the fryer. That's fair. He keeps trying to put his face in it.
I do want to throw in one other thing, which is that we talked about how these adventures are kind of built toward a specific purpose, but we do, like, they have a purpose, but you're going to play them kind of like any other adventure. A lot of them are relatively short adventures, but we want people to kind of play them naturally and not kind of, you know, gaming them all that differently.
Yeah, gaming the system and figuring out what the shtick is, and then trying to you're not helping anybody by doing that. We just want you to make good characters that you want to play, and then run through, you know, whatever meat grinder we've concocted.
And like we said, there are some more monsters in the playtest bestiary. So if you finish the playtest adventure, you want to run some of your own, create your own. There are guidelines in there for building encounters, for giving out treasure, and all that kind of stuff. We don't really have any like comprehensive how to build a campaign kind of stuff, because you might not even have time really to do an entire huge campaign. But all the stuff you need to know to make balanced encounters and that kind of stuff will be released.
All right. So what we're going to do here is we got about, let's see, it's 3:30 now, and I don't want to go past 3:50 just so people have time to clear out and the next people to file in. So we got about 20 minutes. We'll open it up to general kind of questions. We'll try and keep it about the playtest, but we'll see how it goes. You are first right here.
So, given that you're trying to just really redline it and kick it around a whole bunch, are we to understand that there's some of these scenarios that are probably going to serve you best if not everybody lives? To see what it looks like when it's failed.
We aren't streaming this one, are we?
What?
We aren't streaming this
one. Yes, we are.
Okay, so we need to repeat the question.
Yeah, so the question was, are there situations in the adventure where we are expecting people to fail, and is that a part of our data collection? Yep. Next question. Over here.
You said there was going to be some Pathfinder Society scenarios.
There'll be surveys for those as well.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure that... So,
The question was about the Pathfinder Society add-on scenarios, and I should actually talk about those just a little bit, because there is four of them. So there are four of them. One is a pack of quests. They're short, 1 hours, and there are, I think there's four of them.
Four quests. Wall Street Revenge.
And some people are running it here at the show, although I was like, don't spoil it. The playtest hasn't started yet. But they're like, no, it'll be fine. Okay, so... So there are some folks running in here. That is a short series of quests. There's four of them, but they are connected to form one storyline. In addition to that, there are three other adventures. These are full 4 hour or 5 hour scenarios. The first one is for first level characters. The second one is for first level characters.
So there are a total of four. Row Street, the quests, and the second one, which is the first scenario, are for first, whereas the other two are for fifth. I think.
Yeah, and I think the third one might even be for fifth or maybe even seventh or eighth. Or seventh.
I think they're for the same two levels.
I have my details on this a little mixed up, but I know that there are four adventures. One of them is for first level characters, and the other two are for higher level characters.
Right.
Those will, I think, three of them are available on day one. And the fourth one is available, I think, a little later. Yeah. I'm going to have to get back to folks on the details on that. Some of the plans for that are still... I know they're set, but I'm just not quite aware of what they are because I wasn't in the meeting where the agenda was put down. So that said, all of those will have surveys just like the other adventures so that you're able to give feedback to us and we can use that to help us make good decisions about the game. Cool. Right here.
So in the surveys, when people are putting the players together, do you have a component of asking them what kind of play does your group like to do? Like, if you know, my guys like to be murder hobos, or we really like role-playing, or is that going to be too subjective to be useful for you?
The question was, are we going to ask about what the group's play style is?
Or do you want to know it?
I think if it's relevant to the adventure, and once again, I don't want to spoil any of the adventures, so I got to be a little careful here. If it's relevant to the adventure, we will probably ask that, but generally speaking, we want to see how all the different groups play through this, and we'll suss some of that out through the feedback mechanisms. I think the adventures themselves do a bit to kind of tell you what you're supposed to... Each one of these adventures has a part in the beginning that's like making characters for this part.
Okay.
Because the characters... We don't have time for you to play a 1 to 20 level campaign and evolve the characters naturally. There just isn't enough time for that. We have systems for making that happen, of course, because it's a role-playing game. But we don't have time to wait for your group to do it. So we have you jump between levels to get to the parts of the game that we want to test. So for that, each adventure has a section in the beginning that says, building characters for this part. And for many of them, it's just like, build characters of this level, do this. Others come with... more rules.
But I think to get back to his question, he was also sort of asking, are we going to give any diagnostic questions that we then try to break out? Oh, well, this adventure got an average of 4.6 out of 5 being liked by people who rated themselves as being all about the combats and got a 1.3 out of the people who said they liked roleplay because we click the diagnostic and filter the data.
I think those we'll be asking questions like that.
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
The surveys are actually one of the parts that we're like, yeah, we'll write those later. we knew what they were going to be. We identified the things that we knew we were going to have to ask about, so we had those in mind when we were developing and creating the adventure. But the specifics of the individual questions, we haven't done yet. Mental note, we need to do that. We got it.
We're waiting to write them until we get to the point where we're like, oh God, we should have written those, and then we're going to write them.
Yeah, that'll be great. It's the Paizo way. Yeah.
For these adventures, do you have an ideal party size, or are you saying as many people as you dare try?
Well, I have 400 players. The question was, do the adventurers have an ideal party size? The module itself assumes that you have between 4 and 6. Right up here in front.
So, what about things like layout and the icons you were suggesting we're going to use for the actions? Are you going to get feedback on that?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So, the question is, we're using some icons in the book. Are we going to get any feedback on that? Are we going to open up feedback on that? Absolutely. And right now, one of the things that I'm in the process of figuring out is how to make sure that the PDF translate those icons correctly for people who need to use readers. I can't in good conscience say, hey, yeah, good luck figuring that out. Maybe somebody will read it to you. That's not fair to anybody. That's not the type of game we want to make. So we want our game to be understandable by everybody. So there's a couple things involved with that. This gets back to kind of, once again, the user interface, the user experience for the game. Part of that is making sure that the PDFs has proper image tags for all of those so that when a reader hits them, it says action icon, right, or something like that. That way you know when you're going through it that that's what this is. In other places, there's some color coding that we've been doing. Fortunately, that is not a huge component of the game right now, and I don't think it's going to impact anybody, but I'm very concerned about using color coding in any way to denote any part of rules active text, because people are colorblind. My dad's colorblind, so that's not a good solution to me, and that's very important to me that we get that right. So in some cases...
The layout is also...
The layout
playtest.
To be honest, everything we're doing is still in playtest. If folks come to us and say, "Hey, I really don't like the way this is looking," we're going to take that under advisement. We might not change it, but we will be listening to all of you and you know what you guys have to tell us. That's ultimately, you know, the secret to all of this is if we make a game you want to buy, you will trade us money for it. So, spoiler alert. But there's a key component of that, and that means it has to be a game that you want. And if we make games that you don't want, then you won't trade us money for it. And then I once again end up at Burger King playtesting the fryer in my face. All right. In that.
What is the best way, in your opinion, to translate this experience online? Since many people cannot actually, you know, sit down for 8 to 9 hours and do each chapter. Is there going to be an online format? Or is it kind of similar to what Pathfinder Society or the Adventure Path is now?
So the question was, is there going to be an online component of this for people who maybe, you know, don't have an at-home group or something like that? Or, you know, what sort of support are we offering for online digital play? Is that...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a complicated question. We do have a number of partners who are investigating how they can support the playtest because they run, like, digital tabletops and stuff. And they're trying to see what they can do. But time is short. Right, we just sent this book to the printer recently, so they haven't had an awful lot of time to work on it. And I don't want to speak for them right here, right now, because I haven't actually had a chance to talk to them about what direction they're going to go. That said, you know, most of your digital tabletops will be able to run this just as well as they ran first edition, right? I mean, the engine of the game's different, but you're still rolling d20s, right? You know, if the thing has a dice roller and you can share chat, you can pretty much play it. We still use a mat. The mat still kind of works the same way. The monsters are mostly still the same. So most of those tool sets are still going to work just fine. So yeah, I think that it wouldn't surprise me at all if we end up with a dedicated forum for people who want to play test by post, right? You know, who want to play test via a message board. That's really slow. But if you're dedicated to do it, I'm sure there's a way.
Yeah, getting feedback in a timely fashion is pretty difficult in that scenario, but that might just be the way of play by post.
You know, and the future's brilliant. I play on an online game, but we don't actually use virtual tabletops. My GM has just a normal grid, and he beams that through Twitch, and we watch him through Twitch, and then the rest of it's through Skype. Okay, working really well.
Over here.
So those of us that do home games and world-building crunchy bits, the mechanical, like, world-building stuff, magical item construction, things like that, we're going to have surveys for those types of things?
Well, so...
The rules for doing that, so...
So the question was, is there going to be surveys talking about the kind of GM-facing tools of creation and construction?
Those rules largely are not in the playtest, just yeah, because they create a lot of kind of noise, and we want to, as Jason said, have kind of a stable system. So we're not really doing a lot of, like, make your own stuff, because there are just too many variables to that for us to really test whether it's working as intended, because we don't know the intent. Whereas we do know the intent of the spells and magic items and monsters that we've written.
Right. Like, if we are testing out power attack and it's against an ogre that we wrote, and we find out that there's a problem with power attack or a problem with an ogre, that's one thing. But if we test out power attack against, like, a rainbow walrus or something, that a GM...
Trademark it. Good. Quick.
Intellectual property. But and there's a problem with that walrus that nobody knows because the GM made it, then we might not find out as good information about power attack.
Plus, those kind of design documents, at least right now, we can write in a very rough form, and if we publish them, we have to make a less rough form, and then if we have to go back and rethink the principles of design, then that's time that eats into things that we just don't have time to do.
Yeah, right now we're kind of what we want to test is what those formulas are creating to see if we need to change those formulas. So providing you the formula actually kind of defeats the purpose a little bit, right? It's just we're trying to make sure that the output is what we want, and we'll change the mechanism by which we get that as needed. All right. Next. Yeah.
So you've talked a lot about not wanting to spoil it so that we don't get fresh. Does that also imply that you don't want us to play it with multiple different characters? So if I want to play a path through with visit this time and a paladin next time so that I can get a different feel of how it looks.
Well, the upside, all right, so the question was, can you play it multiple times with different characters? And the upside is to the way that we built it is that you will get to play one, two, three, four, five different characters throughout this. So if you want to play one part with the paladin and one part with the wizard, you can do that and get both experiences.
Without playing it multiple times.
Yeah, I would generally say if you feel like you want to play it multiple times, play the whole thing through first so that we get, especially on those higher level adventures, which are harder to get feedback on because it's more likely people are going to play a smaller number of sessions, they're going to play the earlier ones. So please try to play it all the way through so we get some of that feedback on high-level play before you circle back to the first-level adventure.
Also, if you've played it all the way through and you're like, oh my gosh, Doomsday Dawn, this is it, and you can go to the other scenario, but you want to do Doomsday Dawn again, consider GMing it. Because for every... we need a GM for any group of like 4 to 6 players who are going to play it.
The game still requires a game master.
We hadn't announced that, Jason.
Oh!
Spoilers.
I ruin all the things.
You have been reading message boards.
That's right, yeah. No, it's true. All right, we still got 6 minutes. Back here.
You mentioned to play the campaign organically like you normally would and not go breaking, looking for every rule to break.
Oh, you can look for some rules to break, by all means.
I know, that was the reaction of, I thought that was normal. But can you provide specifics or direction there on what type of, where you want them focused? Like, how much diving into that?
So, all right, so the question was, you know, can we provide more, like, we may not want people to break the scenario, but can we provide more focus about what they should be trying to do?
Yeah, that direction.
I think... So the answer to that is
more like a metagame
break. Yeah.
Don't read through the entire adventure and
right.
play it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Treat it like an episode of your favorite show that's about to drop. Avoid message boards and forums until you get to play it, right? That's kind of it, right? Like avoid spoilers because that might ruin your experience.
Right. But if you know you you have a player in your group who likes to try to min-max their character as much as possible, they should still try to min-max their character as much as possible because that's one of the things we're trying to test. It's more just like treat those characters like your characters. Don't just kind of go into be like, well, I don't care about this, so I'm just not really going to try that kind of thing.
If you think you have a combination of 3 spells and 2 feats that will break the game, by all means, definitely do try to use that combination of 3 spells and 2 feats to break the game. But do not also read the module and be like, oh, this guy's weak to cold, so I guess I'll make the cold character of all cold. And then the next day, I'll switch it up for the thing that the other thing is weak against. Oh, this was too easy. Well, surprised.
Yeah, I mean, if you read the adventure, you can build the perfect character for the adventure, and we don't want you to do that. What we want you to do is, you know, like we said, each adventure says, do this when you're building a character. Now, in many cases, it's just like, build a character. The first one just says, build a first-level character using the rules in the rulebook. Pick one of these backgrounds instead of the ones in the book. That's the only difference, right? So the point behind that is really to just... we want all of the variableness in the feedback to come from the way that you play. Not in the way that the adventure works or the way that... Because we're trying to test, let's be honest, the main point of the playtest is to stress test the player mechanics because they are one of the most important parts of the game. Tweaking the GM side of things is kind of simple by comparison because they're not necessarily creating all their components from scratch. They're just using the components they're given, whereas players get to take this giant assemblage of parts and build things with them. Right? It's we're trying to make sure we don't give you a Lego that's too sharp, right? You know, we don't want you to cut yourself, right? And nor do we want one that's so boring. It's like, oh, this is the all beige set. Beige. Okay. God, I'm punchy. All right.
So the idea being to test the system as opposed to testing the half-lizard folk kineticist.
Yeah, the goal of the playtest is to playtest the
play test. I'm running out of steam.
This is the kind of insight you can expect from all panels.
Yeah, that's right. Wait till the banquet speech later when I'm even tireder.
I don't know if you guys know this, but you play and you test at the same time.
This guy gets it. All right. Up here in the front.
So, given, I don't know, you don't want to spoil it too much, but downtime being drastically revised from what it was in the past and the cobbled together system, is there going to be any major focus on how the downtime works?
There's one adventure that touches on downtime a bit, but really it's there to be a system for long-term campaign management, which is kind of not what we're doing in the playtest adventure. And most of it is stuff that is based on formulas that are pretty easy for us to predict. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that we think we need a lot of stress testing on. There's a few parts that touch on it a little, but not much. So, and to be honest, the playtest rulebook itself is pretty light on downtime systems. It focuses on crafting, it focuses on retraining, but it doesn't go too deep into some of what the other expressions might be, like kingdom management or something like that, right? We're not having you necessarily run a kingdom.
And a lot of those are ones we can kind of do projections of in-house, and we're probably more likely to run through them that way. You kind of be like, okay, if they've got 8 months, what can they get accomplished? Does that break the system? If they've got 2 days, are they under power and that kind of thing?
But if your group does a homebrew thing and it has downtime in it, by all means, feel free to stress test it. Let us know. Oh yeah, they got infinite money somehow. I'm not sure how that happened.
Yeah, that might be too good. We should.
Yeah, infinite days is probably how that happened.
Did we remove the age rules? Oh, that's a problem.
So traditionally when there's a playtest in Pathfinder Society, the expectation is you start at level 1 and then have to build them up. Like that's how it was for like playtesting with the Vigilante. For the Pathfinder Society scenarios, are you expected to go in with like pre-gens and play at the level that the scenario says? Do you have to actually work up to it? Like has the playtest rules for change-gen?
I think... So the question was, for the Pathfinder Society events, are you going to be asked to play a bunch of scenarios to get between the various levels? And I think the answer is no.
The answer is definitely no. Yeah. I mean, as we said, we think it's 1155, although maybe the other one at the end is higher than that. You cannot play any combination of two first-level adventures and maybe two fifth-level adventures that would get you up to nobody same character, so... You can't possibly do that, so you just get to skip. And if you're playing in Pathfinder Society, you're not going to collect chronicle sheets for that character that gives them XP and gold that you build up. You're just going to make a playtest character for that adventure and keep a record of what you've done for the playtest in general. And they'll tell you more about that at Pathfinder Society panel, about the rewards for playing the playtest, because it's different.
All right, we got time for maybe one more question. So who's going to give me the last question? You raised your hand first. What you got? Make it a good one.
So you talked about GMs having things that they needed to track while doing the playtest. Is there anything that players should be tracking? Can you mind other than general comments on whatever it is they're playing?
Hit points. No. So the question was, we're going to be asking GMs to track some things during the playtest. Is there anything we're going to be asking the players to track? I think there's a few scenarios where we might ask the players to track a couple things. We'll include that in the GM notes so the GMs can tell the players. Because we don't want them poking around those pages because they might contain, here there be spoilers. But I don't think there's too much. I mean, other than the standard parts of being a player, right? You have to track your hit points and you have to track your spells and stuff. Yeah. But that's the obvious stuff. You have to play the game. I don't think there's too much that we're asking the players specifically to note. A lot of the questions are going to be like, how did you like this part? Was this too hard? Was this too easy? On a scale of 1 to 5, rate the difficulty of this Sturge encounter. Sorry, Bloodbeak.
Blood seeker.
That's right. We'll ask questions like that, but a lot of that is stuff that we expect you'll remember from playing the event. The things that we're going to ask you specifically to track are going to be a lot more nitpicky, And because of that, we should probably ask you to make sure you keep track. Otherwise, you will not remember. Like asking the group, you know, and this isn't one of the questions, like, how many arrows did the group use in this encounter? Well, if I don't ask you to track that beforehand, you're not going to remember, right? It's like, oh, well, there's one in the first round, and then...
13.
Let's go 12. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, what time we got here? All right. No, I still have time for one more question. It just has to be a quick one. Anybody got one last one? Right over here.
Are you going to be doing, like, buying and selling of loot during the stories to try to track, like, purchasing of items?
So the question was, are we going to be tracking the buying and selling of loot throughout the playtest adventure? The characters you revisit do get to keep all their gear from the first one, but by the time you revisit them, they'll be a higher level, so a lot of that loot may not be very useful to you. So we do have a system in the game by which you assign treasure to higher level characters, and it isn't just, here's a pile of money, buy whatever you want. There's actually a rigorous system to it that, you know, says take some items of various levels in this band, and this is what you get, plus some money to spend on consumables and things like that. So the game itself is a bit more structured on that front. And then, you know, when it comes to, you know, what items do you trade in or whatnot, in most cases it's not relevant to the playtest.
You don't go back to a store in almost any of the adventures. Right. There's only one where you really do something even similar to that. It doesn't use the regular rules.
Yeah, that's part two of the playtest, which is just purely economics. It involves sitting around trying to make money via the craft skill and selling wands of Cure Light Wounds really to just gonna... first edition characters. So
we're really... We're only going to get feedback on the first chapter because we know the second chapter is where they're just going to quit.
Yeah, no, they're going to be like, ultimate economy. No, I'm busy playing anything else. All right. So I want to thank you guys for coming. I hope that you take part in the Pathfinder playtest that launches on August 2nd. We will see all of you on the message boards and through forums and through Twitch and all that kind of stuff. Thank you for attending, everybody. I hope you guys have a great PaizoCon. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another PaizoCon 2018 seminar recording. Special thanks to the KD Con team, including Justin Sluder, Ryan Hiller, Stephen Glicker, and the entire Roll for Combat crew. No Direction's PaizoCon coverage would not be possible without their tireless effort. To find this and other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit nodirectionpodcast.com.